Welcome to Real Flicks Reviews, or like a book club for people who hate reading. This month, we're doing a farewell to RFR. So we picked Kingsman and the Golden Circle. We're also doing The Mist, Episode 7, Season 1. This week, it's the original Gruesome Twosome. So in the description of Kingsman, the Golden Circle, released in 2017, when their headquarters are destroyed and the world is held hostage, the Kingsman journey leads them to discover an allied spy organization in the U.S. These two elite secret organizations must band together to save the world.
Basically.
Yeah, that's the description, damn it. I'm sticking to it.
That's the IMDb description. I want to go a different route with this one today. So this is a sequel. There's always people that hate the sequels to the original films. And I was kind of scanning through and I noticed that there is a lot of hate mail about this one on IMDb as far as user reviews go.
I'll be honest, that surprises me because this was, honestly, this was right on point with the first one. There are a couple, I could see why it would be hard to be as good as the first one, considering the first one was basically lambasting everything like this. I thought they did a good job. So it was as good as the sequel to Bond movies.
Yeah. So let me throw out some of these. I'll just do the top and maybe a sentence or two, just so you kind of get an idea of where these people are coming from. Silly sequel. They kind of list 10 reasons why.
Hold on. You're complaining that it's a silly sequel and it's a fucking spoof.
Great cast, pretty awful movie. I hated to see such great actors coming together in a pretty bad movie. The plot was silly, and some of the characters were overdone and equally silly. Poppy. And the Elton John cameo for the first scene then was way overdone. Lame forced comedy fills this instantly forgettable sequel.
Hold on. You just described the first one there, dude. The first one fits the same description. The only difference is you never saw that type of thing.
This one'll piss you off. This is on the same one. Why is it that so many fun, inspired originals are followed by such lame, poorly written, and juvenile sequels?
You want to know why? Honestly, why? Because you saw the first one. It's really hard to do a sequel to something you've already seen. I would say that's why the rest of the Fast and Furious movies sucked, but honestly, the first one sucked too. It's just really hard to duplicate to make a sequel. I actually thought this was on point. My favorite part of this movie was the chase scene when, you know, they're destroying that black cab. And I'm thinking, that's right, you do a bunch of explosions and there's no cops. Boom, cops. So stupid comment. I'm sorry. I'm calling for IMDb to delete the stupid comment.
Well, you know, for me, I'll get into it in a little bit.
More comments. Yeah.
Difference between 1 and 2 is night and day. I had to force myself to make it through the Golden Circle. Just pure rubbish. Whoever was the writer of the storyline should be embarrassed. And if you think it's cool to hear the fuck word out of Eggie's mouth every 10 seconds, he obviously wasn't listening to Elton John, you need to get a life.
So I'm wondering if the reason why they don't like it is because most of the first one was building up Eggie.
Yeah.
And you had very little action. The action sequences were spot on identical, like the basic style, not the same thing.
The bullet cam or slow motion type thing, if you want to go
that route. It was the same basic sequences. And I know they're not exactly the same sequences, you pedantic bastards.
So back to you wanted me to push another one out, and I did. So, back to the lame forced comedy fills this instantly forgettable sequel. The one that you said was inspired originals are followed by such lame, poorly written, and juvenile sequels. Have you ever never heard of If Looks Could Kill?
Bingo.
We did that movie. And so I guess you didn't understand. Maybe that's kind of what it's wondering.
There's also was a Spy Hard and Spy Harder. Or
Spies
like
Us.
Yeah, so it's not the only difference, I think, is if Looks Could Kill were kind of identical to this, really, they're lambasting it, but they're actually having fun. And it's not like the, you know, is it Spy Harder? It's not a ridiculous Leslie Nielsen spoof. It's more in the spirit of James Bond with a comedy turned up.
Yeah.
So, I mean, come on.
There's another one. Positively the most idiotic movie I've seen in decades. Wow.
You must not.
You don't watch very many movies. One, awful. Actually, this is a kind rating, but there's no option for a negative rating. So I went as low as I could. I mean, there's nothing in there except for you're claiming that it's poorly written, stupid, bitching at the talent. You're saying that you walked out of 3 or 4 and that you would have done that with this one, but...
So, I don't like comedies. I've been on 250-plus episodes telling people how I truly despise, hate, dislike, really dislike comedies because they're not funny, unoriginal, and generally ripping off something that was funny. This movie was funny.
So, I'm just going to pass this over to John. You can scroll. It just keeps going from the same thing.
A boring movie. Such a bummer. Kingsman 1 was original. See, this is...
Why do you say that?
So here's the big issue, and I've already stated, action was really only... And the first one, mind you, was only really contained towards the end. The last act was all the action movies.
Yeah.
This one was the last throughout. Was the last act in a whole movie. I do agree it was cliche. There's a lot of standard... spy movie and action movie tropes, but in this type of movie, if you don't find those tropes, you're really not gonna like it, because it's really hard to make a movie that's spoofing something without those tropes. It's like James Bond without the girl.
So I'm gonna jump out and just kind of state this one. For me, this film is a 4, easily. there's funny parts to it. There's obviously going to be cliche stuff. This one takes, as it did with the original one, it takes all the gadgets and gives you the funness with the gadgets as spy type thing.
It didn't do the one thing that I was expecting. It didn't zhuzh up. It didn't really make the gadgets worse, or like the James Bond and the Pierce Brosnan James Bond in particular made all the gadgets more ridiculous as the time went on. Yeah. They kept the same theme and style, which the only ridiculousness it went off was with the Americans, which, by the way, I thought was hilarious.
I thought it was pretty funny.
Baseball grenade. It's I like Fallout.
Well, I was kind of also disturbed by the lasso that went electric that cut through everything.
I was curious how that giant lasso went up into the handle.
Yeah, that was actually a pretty interesting thing. And the other thing, I mean, as any cook or professional chef would ever say, that is a magical meat grinder that sorts clothes and bone and gristle and veins and organs to just
sort all that and then do a
nice fat content in the burger as well. That is a magic meat grinder, and I want one.
So I'll be honest. I was really disappointed that she didn't go, man, this would be really good with fava beans. I was hoping for something like that because I thought it would have been hilarious. Yes, I thought it would be hilarious. It's a cannibalism joke. This hand, since you can't see the other one.
So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, it was a fun movie. You got the actions. I was in the first 10-minute opening scene type thing. I was kind of in there like, okay, you... In this section, you're overdoing the slow motion fight.
What fight was that? Was that the beginning?
Yeah, when he's in the cab. Yeah, and they're fighting in the car type thing.
I'll agree. I mean... Honestly, I think because every spy movie has a ridiculously long, unneeded... Yeah. Jason Bourne in particular, especially the Jeremy Renner one, when it's like three quarters
motorcycle?
Of the movie. Yeah.
Yeah, chasing, yeah.
I agree. But on the other hand, I thought it was funny because I really thought they were making fun of the Bourne movie.
Yeah, well, when it was about 3 minutes into that whole sequence, I'm actually like, you know, at first it kind of took me out because I'm like, okay, you guys did this quite a bit in the first one. I was expecting in the second one, but it kind of seemed like, is this how all the fight sequences are going to go? It did and didn't. But
it
brought me back to more fun as the fight sequence progressed, though.
Yeah. The only thing that annoyed me and I liked, really depending on how they use it, was how the fights, the world around them slowed down.
Yeah.
You can really see it towards the end of the movie when he has that briefcase. Shield and certain scenes parts slow down a second. It kind of got annoying on the car scene, like you said, the first opening part. But everything else I enjoyed. It was weird seeing the guy from 21 Jump Street. I thought it was funny how it was basically a cameo.
Yeah, and there was also the cowboy guy, not...
not Whiskey.
Yes, Whiskey.
Oh.
He was in the... We did part of the show of the Escobar show on Netflix.
Ooh.
Yeah, he's one of the guys from there. I noticed him right off the bat. I was like, hey, this is actually interesting. And he actually did a fantastic role playing a cowboy type-ish character. And I enjoyed it. It was a stereotype, like Jeff Bridges, the Master of Mumble.
Well, everybody, not quite the Master. Nah, there's at least one other person.
I mean, no, the other guy, he is the definition of Mumble.
Well, actually, Jeff is it Jeff Bridges? Yeah. His biggest problem, honestly, are his dentures. By the way, dude, get fucking implants. They don't slip. Yeah. it's my only... I love that dude as an actor, but the fact he's always playing with his dentures drives me freaking crazy. You're a millionaire. You can afford better teeth. The one role I didn't really like, I didn't hate, I was kind of indifferent to it, was Halle Berry's character. I think you could have gone with a better or different actress. I'm not saying it was good or bad. I think in that role particularly, they should have picked a younger, unknown actress. I think that would have been a great jumping point for somebody.
I mean, she didn't take me out of the movie, but it was just, I was looking at her and just like, she doesn't fit to me.
I just thought
she didn't fit the role.
I thought it would have been, because it's almost a throwaway role. It's not necessarily germane to the story. And I thought that would have been a good... That would have been...
You're working again.
Right? I would have thought, man, that would have been a good role for a fresh young talent who's looking for her first major role. I thought it would have been cool. Yeah. I just didn't care about the character. Not the world's biggest Halle Berry fan. I do think she is talented, depending
Swordfish
on the character, though.
I mean, besides, that's my favorite. Tits, but I mean,
I liked her in Swordfish.
I thought you liked Catwoman too.
You know, for being a bad movie, she does a pretty good job acting in that movie. I mean, that's not her fault. I give this movie. I'll give it a 3.5. I liked this movie. I will like the series as they come out, because they've got to make more of these.
Yeah.
Because it's just goofy as hell. I love the antagonist. I really love, I do love her weapon of choice. And
Julianne Moore.
Oh.
For people out there.
And I love, you know, the
it's good for her age, too. I was surprised.
I love the president's... The way the president, spoiler alert.
I would have done the same shit.
I love the president's comments.
We just won the war in trust. Sorry, I ruined it for you, didn't I?
Yes, bastard. The whole way, I was actually, I thought it was hilarious. And she's a drug dealer, and yet she's like, you know, she's like Mrs. Cleaver, but evil.
Yeah, I mean.
That was perfect. It was very topical, by the way, at least here in the United States, especially being in California where this is filmed. This is amazingly topical into it. I was really impressed.
Yeah, now I'm going to throw the guy out there. I mean, I just thought it was kind of funny. Elton John. I mean, it was an unnecessary role to have in the film, but I think it was an interesting touch. I mean, I did kind of enjoy his Wednesday.
Actually,
what day is it? Wednesday? Exactly.
I actually didn't think I thought he was perfect. I actually thought, after watching that, I was thinking the director picked not only a perfect person, he's a character. Realistically, the Elton John, you know, is a character. I doubt he's the same way really in real life. But no, I thought introducing such an over-the-top character and moment, I thought it was perfect. I actually thought the scene needed some comedy elements.
I agree. And that's for you people out there that are just trying to rip this movie apart.
Wait, you complaining?
I think you guys need to go back and watch the first Kingsman again and look at Samuel Jackson's role and tell me that film is not a comedy.
And he's
that's all I got to say.
And his character was over the top. I mean, over the top. Oh, I also really liked the gimmick and how you got the... I'm really sorry. I just forgot his name. Was it not Firth? How you got...
Eggsy?
No, the original, his mentor.
Oh, Henry. Or not Henry.
I'm sorry. You think I would have done my homework, but I loved how the fact they got him back in it. I love the gimmick far as, you know, they were somehow able to magically save his life. And I was really Yeah. I was thinking Harry that Hart, was sorry. What was it?
Harry Hart.
I thought, man, that's a really good gimmick into saving that story wise. It fits within the universe. It's over the top, but it fits. It's not so over the top that it overshadows the over top of the universe.
Yeah, I was really impressed. Nice touch, because I mean, I was bummed when they made it look like he died in the first one. Kind of had a feeling that he might make a reappearance, but I was kind of thinking it was going to go with the way that Men in Black did and kind of jump him in back in time or some shit, which, I mean, wouldn't really fit with the thing, no. But it could.
I was hoping they were going to make him a bad guy.
Yeah, or something like that.
Because I was thinking this would be good, but I'm really glad they didn't.
Yeah.
By the way, it was super obvious it was going to be Whiskey. Was not the turncoat, spoiler alert, but was a bad guy. I was thinking, this is obvious, but... You know, I don't necessarily complain when it's a Bond movie, so.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm gotta say, though, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, looking at IMDb, I rated, actually, the first Kingsman 1 star higher than the second one, just because, for me, there was a couple things that kind of irked me a little bit. When you first see where her base camp, you know, her hideout or headquarters type thing, and they come in and it's the middle of nowhere type thing, you could obviously tell that as they were panning in and showing everything there that there was a lot of CGI in that scene. A lot. And it was overdone. I could tell that even the people weren't really people. They were CG characters.
I didn't. It's still not. It's still not as bad as The Hobbit. I mean, this was the Technicolor rainbow, but you weren't drowning in it like you were in the Hobbit
movies.
Well,
I like how they did, how they brought that into the Technicolor rainbow and the fact that she's a big 50s fan. I like that. That was enjoyable to me. I like that kind of little tweak and character building it on her.
Honestly, that CGI didn't bother me because for me, this movie... I expected it because of the way this movie is. So for me, it was like, if I didn't see that, I'd be like, kind of a bummer. Because this movie's everything, all the colors are blown out. It's over the top.
The last thing about it that bothered me is the kind of final boss sequence fight when they're in the diner. And
I thought that was hilarious.
They panned and did the whole fight scene in one shot, but coming back and forth, moving the camera and adjusting it, going this way and that. With one take, or one fluid motion is how they do with the camera. That's what they did with the Avengers, and they did it in the first one during the church scene.
At least it wasn't a bunch of fast cuts, because that's what ended up being. It would have made you either go in a seizure or be incredibly nauseous.
Yeah, I agree, but I think they kind of... I don't know if it was just the way the cameraman was. It was kind of swoopy at stages, and it kind of took me out of the thing and make it enjoyable. But then, like I said with the first one... The first sequence, fight sequence, I kind of started liking it again. It took me out of it for a little while.
That part, you know, the camera, the way the camera was, the cinematography didn't bother me. The ending kind of bothered me because it was super anticlimactic. Just, I know I didn't say that right, but hell. It was kind of like amazing buildup. Then, she just got injected with heroin.
I like the overdose touch.
It was very apropos. I mean, it was really well done. I love the, but this works. She's like, okay, I'm fine. Yeah, but this works twice as fast. Huh?
Yeah.
I thought it was a little lame, but on the other hand, it fit the story. So while I'm complaining, I didn't hate it. It was just like, damn it. I wanted to see her also go with the meat grinder. But no, I'm sticking with my 3.5. I liked it. You people on IMDb... And the fact that this show is the fact that we're saying this, if we are saying this, y'all need to relax because we're the most pedantic show on the internet.
And I'm just assuming that they missed the part in the description of what type of movie genre this is, where it says action, adventure, comedy. I think you misread that because this is comedy in mine.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we're switching over to The Mist, Season 1, Episode 7. So, James, batter up.
I wanted you actually to see this one. I thought this was a nice touch, and I think Ryan would have enjoyed that, too.
Was this based off the Mark Wahlberg one?
You're talking about the Stephen King one.
Well, but Wahlberg was in it, though, wasn't he?
Yeah.
That's what I meant. You'd think I'd remember the director, but no, I remember the bad actor.
So, kind of what's going on is The Mist kind of shows you, it plays into your fears and what you are afraid of type thing, and so it's like, sometimes you'll get an apparition of it showing up.
So it's like the sphere.
Yeah. So so there's a group that are kind of hiding out in the church, and I'm just going to the description so John kind of sees why I picked this episode. And there's a guy in there, and then there's a lady, and the lady is kind of Wiccan, nature-loving type lady, and there's the priest in there. And so he and her agree to go outside, and whoever the miss kills, their god is reigning supreme type thing. So they go out there, and are standing out there, and she's buck-ass naked, by the way. She's stripped. She's an older lady, too, like 80s 60s or 60s or something like that. I'd have to go look it up. And
is this an HBO or is this a ABC channel type of thing?
This is an HBO.
Okay, so they probably showed everything.
Actually, technically, it's Netflix, but whatever. But you get what I mean. Yeah, it wasn't the network.
The reason I'm asking is because with network television, including certain cable networks, there are certain things they can't do by FCC and by the rule of law. HBO can do whatever the fuck they want.
So, anyways, since it's a Netflix show, they were very discreet in showing the ladies full. I guess glory. I don't know. Anyway,
I'm actually impressed.
These four horsemen come riding up out of the mist.
That's awesome.
And they're standing there, and priest guy's kind of like, I don't know, whatever. You know, you don't have it, and then starts praying. And next thing you know, when the horseman just shoots a freaking arrow through his chest and drags him out.
Wow.
So yeah, it was pretty graphic too, the way that they did it, but it was pretty badass. Especially the way they did.
So the Wiccan lady survived.
Yeah. Anyways, the myth behind the mist is that it's nature's way of culling the herd type thing.
So it also does the fear only. So if your fear comes up and it's the four horsemen of the apocalypse, will it only kill the person who is its fear, or will it kill anybody?
It could kill anybody, as far as I can tell.
Okay.
But they both were able to see it, so it wasn't just one hallucination thing. It was shared. Anyway, it was a pretty interesting episode. I kind of enjoyed it.
We'll give it a watch, so what you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah, I enjoyed it. I think it's better than the movie. There's people bitching about that it's not by the book, but shut up!
Was that one an M. Night Shyamalan?
No. I think he did that Happening around that time, which wasn't Happening. That was just a piece of shit.
So, ladies and gentlemen, you can catch us for now on Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, and more. You also go to facebook.com/RealFlixReviews for all the updates for now on RealFlixReviews. So, as movies, the source material for Venom, the movie, has been confirmed. When Sony's solo Venom movie hits theaters, it will take its cues directly from the comics and take us to San Francisco. Actor Tom Hardy may not have been at attendance for Sony's special presentation at Brazil Comics, so he's going to be Eddie Brock, allegedly, at sea. Hardy revealed that the film story will be inspired by the 93 Venom Lethal Protector comic book miniseries, so potentially this could be good guy Venom, or anti-hero Venom.
You mean more of like
the lethal protector? Yeah. I actually think that's cool. I like that more than there's just this blatant killing machine, because then you need Spider-Man or you need something. Having Venom being more of like the lethal protector, I think, is a little bit more interesting.
My curiosity is, do you believe that we're at a stage in film technology to do justice to how the Venom costume operates?
Realistically,
I mean, they screwed up Spawn.
The Tobey Maguire one, the effects were pretty good.
Yeah.
Honestly,
right. I mean,
I don't think
it's a living organism that moves. So.
I just don't think there's ever going to be a way to do that justice. Really, I think no matter what, it's always going to look aged. The best way to describe it, Jurassic Park, when it came out in theaters, best special effects you can get when it comes to CGI. You watch it now, the CGI looks really dated. It's just going to look dated. I think that's the nature of CGI. I think unlike special effects, like hard edge effects or traditional special effects, I think that's just going to look bad no matter what over time. I think the best they can do is not make it stand out. Because if you look at some of the older CGI, it's not matched to color. It stands out a little bit from the rest of it.
Yeah, I get what you mean. Yeah.
The one. So I just heard about this. I know nothing about it. Is it Sean Bean's series, The Frankenstein Chronicles? And somebody's comment on this was, will Sean Bean survive the series? Because he dies in everything he does.
One role he survived through, I don't remember what it was.
It was like a BBC television series.
Something like that.
Honestly, I don't believe I'm saying this, but the Frankenstein, I'm kind of burned out. I want to see the Dark Universe one. I'll see it because I do like Sean Bean. I like seeing him die because he dies pretty good. He's had a lot of practice. So I'm interested. It hits Netflix in the U.S. The official trailer for Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. I haven't watched it.
Me neither.
I'll watch it if there's nothing better to do. Maybe we'll revive RealFlix Reviews for it for an episode. I won't hold my breath.
Don't want to die that much.
The one that... So I've heard about this for years. This has been something that I've heard off and on for a decade or more. Battle Angel was an anime series. I don't know the actual... And it's Battle Angel something, if I remember correctly. There's a live-action version of this coming out. I'm kind of...
I haven't watched Death Note, though, so I don't know if I'm going to...
So on the Death Note, I've heard the Death Note sucked out loud.
I've heard good things about it so far.
Really?
I mean, I haven't looked at the critics' reviews, but I've talked to.
These are from people I know.
Well, I like the series, so I kind of like in the mode of, do I dare? I mean, but Gantz, though. I mean, Gantz is fantastic.
Gantz is a really hard movie not to do right, though, because it was basically a one-to-one version of the cartoon.
Yeah, basically.
I think Death Note's a little bit more convoluted, but not by much. Simple story.
Yeah, but the Shinigami is the guy that it really is, and I mean, other than that, you're writing in a notebook and watching people die.
True.
It's not like that difficult. So
Tarantino says his Star Trek film would be rated R.
Ooh, shocker.
You know, it'd be a shocker. Make it PG.
G.
I don't think he has to use at least one curse word, so it'd be G, PG.
Damn it.
It'll be shit, just like in the Transformers. It won't be motherfucker. That's a rated R.
Samuel Jackson?
That would be hilarious.
Samuel Jackson, Uma Thurman, Tim Roth.
If they're in this movie, I actually will not watch it.
Mads Madison?
Michael Madison?
Yeah.
I'm still kind of curious to see what it's like. I'm not really, I don't know. I mean, I know I was kind of excited about it before. I don't really know how I feel about it. If it's the eugenics war,
yeah, that's all I want to see.
I just want to see it. Other than that, I'm kind of burned out in Star Trek movies. Still can't wait for the new Tomb Raider movie. I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
I'm excited about it because the first ones were basically, here's Angelina Jolie. Here's Angelina Jolie in a tight outfit. Here's Angelina in a tight outfit jumping. Here's Angelina in a tight fit episode jumping while shooting somebody. That's it. Yeah. I mean, it was like... And then, let's add a story. I know, let's show her chest. Oh, not her butt and her crotch. They're crappy. They're entertaining,
it's
but stupid.
The same thing as they do with the Resident Evils and Mila.
The first one, not so much. The rest, yes.
Well, I mean, the first Tomb Raider wasn't that horrible.
No, I meant the first Resident Evil.
That's what I'm saying. I'm comparing it to it. So the first one of both of them wasn't that bad, and then after that, it's kind of like,
the first one...
And then wanted.
Well, the first one, just because I think Angelina Jolie was a bigger sex symbol than Mila Jokovic, after Fifth Element.
Okay.
During Fifth Element, she was, but I think this time...
She was still a sex symbol with that red dress that she was wearing.
But we're talking, like, Angelina Jolie, when this was made, was the, you know, she was the flavor of choice.
The pinnacle of...
That for her, and so...
Megan Fox and whoever that Hunger Games chick is.
Yeah, so that for her during this time, I think this was the height of her being the flavor of the month as far as the sex symbol. So I just don't know. That one got annoying. I'm looking forward to this one because I'm looking forward to, you know, a story that doesn't revolve an attractive woman and just showing her assets instead of here's an attractive woman, but here's a story around her character.
Around her assets?
Which was so...
Assets.
I'm, You're fired. I know, just for
I'm hired and getting paid?
Just for that, we're ending the show in December.
Is my check in the mail?
Yeah, keep waiting for it. So I'm really hoping it's an actual story, not just an excuse to have this woman.
I think it's going to be, because, I mean, the video games have evolved into decent stories.
True. So, and I'm excited. That's why I'm excited to see it.
As long as M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong doesn't take it over. I mean, no one else can screw up a script written for you as well as you can.
Never mind written. How about it actually has a backstory? Everything was made and he just had to duplicate it.
Yeah. And you couldn't even duplicate the main character's name.
It's not Ong, you jackass.
I mean, how do you screw that up? It was an American-based show.
Ugh.
You don't need to change the fucking name.
No. That's actually, if you don't know what we're talking about, it's Avatar, the Last Airbender.
Yeah, you got to have the other part in there. You're going to get blue shit. Not waffles, people.
This is what I have to look for in the new show. Less decorum. I just, that's the soonest he said, my name is Ong. It was like,
the film was shit.
And honestly, that may be the actual way you pronounce it. But
it's an American-based show. Well,
yeah, but it's not how they pronounce it in the anime. And if you're going to go by the source material, i.e. the anime, you have to pronounce the names the way the anime did. Now, like I said, it may not be the way it's actually said, but that's the way the show said it. So, i.e., the normal spelling is wrong. And I'm very purist on the source material.
Yeah.
It drives him nuts.
but
not this one. This time I'm right. He's agreeing with me.
I mean, how can you screw that up? I mean, it's just, you have everything there. How did you fuck that up? I mean, seriously.
Have you seen The Village?
Yes, I have.
Ooh, it's a costume. Let's run! Ah! I mean, come on. It's not even Freddy versus Jason. It's a dude in a Halloween costume. Or dude.
That script was written for you, too. That's based on one of the Alfred Hitchcock little booklet things. I know, because I fucking read it.
So, ladies and gentlemen, I've been racking my brains on, which unfortunately will probably be my last pick in my beloved Real Flix reviews. So I decided to do something I normally wouldn't pick. I'm doing a Rankin and Bass classic, Rudolph.
Nice.
So it's one of my favorite holiday shows to watch. You can now actually watch it on Blu-ray. Looks very amazing. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's the pick. I give the Golden Circle 3.5 out of 5. James, give it a 4.
Ryan gave it a 6.
So I thought he got rid of that extra thumb.
No, he's making it for your incorrect pick on Stars.
Well, hey. So, ladies and gentlemen, for Jonathan Charney, James Stevens, and Ryan the Black Glove, who's not fucking here, Preston, thank you for watching.
Goodbye. I'm gonna go get some.